before I forget, a couple of things. Number one, in the back, one for every family. If you want to pick one of these up for next year's calendar, this will help you find out what you're supposed to be doing. It's a very nice calendar. We had these made, and one for each family. If you pick those up, that'll be great. Also, no women's Bible study. The what?
The envelopes.
Oh, yeah. Your tithing envelopes are on the back also. And if you pick those up, that'll be great. We appreciate that. No women's Bible study this coming Saturday. So we open the word this morning. Amen. We're in the Christmas season. Amen. It's really a great time. The birth of a baby, the wonderful story that it tells. You know, you don't see that much on TV anymore, do you? You see the Grinch and Santa Claus and the elves and everybody else. Not much about Jesus. People spend more than they should, probably. Remember, in fact, Garrett's here, my grandson. When his sister was 2 years old, we had Christmas at my house. We bought gifts for everyone. But my wife usually puts things under the tree. She just wraps them, boxes, puts them under the tree so it looks nice. Well, Bryn, his sister, they were opening presents. She grabbed one. She yanks this thing out and pulls the paper off it, opens it, and it's an empty box. And she says, "Who on earth, 2 years old, who on earth would give somebody an empty box?" And if you think about it, without Christ, that's all we get at Christmas, an empty box. Christ makes all the difference. Now in Matthew chapter 1, we have the story of the angel appearing to Joseph. Before we get to that story, verse 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way, or even better, what really happened was this. What really happened was this. In fact, in verse 22, same chapter, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. That phrase, "now all this was done," is very similar to that phrase in verse 18. What really happened? Is Christmas just a holiday for us to get together to eat a big meal and give presents? Or is it more than that? There's something more here. In our story, it tells us what really happened. In Luke chapter 1 is the story of Mary and the angels visiting her. She was probably 13 years of age. The angel came down and said, "Mary, don't fear, you're highly favored among women. Then he told her that she was going to become pregnant, and it was by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. All of you that have been mothers know the excitement when you remember or find out that you're pregnant, you're going to have a baby. But imagine this. 13-year-old girl is told by the angel of God that she's not only going to have a baby, but this baby is going to be the Son of God supernaturally. Think of that incredible announcement to her. Now, fast forward about 4 months. She's about 4 months pregnant by this time. Joseph comes back home to Nazareth and finds Mary pregnant. The Jewish marriage ritual began with an espousal. They were engaged to one another, but the engagement was a fixed, planned event. It was the same thing, had the same exact conditions of a marriage without the consummation. So when they were espoused to one another, when they were engaged, everybody in that city and the Jews, in essence, saw that as a commitment for life. Now, it was not only a commitment for life, but it was a period to show how true they were to one another. Because of that, Joseph, the Bible says here, being a just man. That word just is the word we get our word righteous from. He was righteous. He wasn't a bad man. He wasn't just a good man. He was a godly man. Because of that and his deep love for Mary, he's in a conundrum. There's something wrong. What are you going to do in Jewish life when you come home to the one that you're engaged to, whom you love with all your heart, and find out that she's pregnant? What are you going to do? There were three choices he had. The Old Testament choice was to take her before the tribunal and she would be stoned to death. They didn't practice that by this time, so there was another thing added. It was called open reproach. And what that was done, they brought her before the tribunal. They explained that she was pregnant. It wasn't Joseph's child. And that brought reproach on her, and all the city would know that. It was a terrible thing to go through. That was the second choice. The third choice was a private divorce. says putting her away privately, a private divorce, where he'd do it privately, not make it a big public thing, not to make a public example of her, but to do it privately. So now he's thinking all this. He's worn out. He goes to sleep, and something supernatural happens. This wasn't just a dream. It said an angel appeared to him in his dream, but it's not like you have a dream about, you know, racing your car down the road, or some dream about someone chasing you or whatever it is. No, this was a dream, but in the midst of this dream, supernaturally, angel appears to him. I don't know if he woke him up or what, but he appeared and said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And that cemented it for Joseph. Now think with me for a moment. Joseph's going to marry Mary. And she's going to have a baby that isn't his, but he's going to position himself to be the best father he could. In Isaiah 9:6, Old Testament, 700 years before this took place, the Bible tells us this in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That verse indicates two things. Number one, that the Messiah would take the position of humanity. "Unto us a child is born." And that that child would be God's son. "Unto us a son is given." That prophecy was fulfilled the day that Mary was obedient to the call of God and formed in her womb was a baby Jesus. Amen? What really happened at Christmas? Well, let's look at it. Number one, we have the story of how he came. Verses 21 through 23, "And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." What really happened at Christmas? How did Jesus come? It was a virgin birth. Being born a virgin means several things that make Christ different than anyone else who had ever been born. being virgin born means at least these three things. Number one, being virgin born means he did not inherit he did not inherit the sinful nature of humanity. Let me say that again. He did not inherit the sinful nature of humanity. He was holy, the Bible says. Harmless, the Bible says. Separate from sinners, the Bible says. He was without sin, the Bible says. He knew no sin, the Bible says. He was virgin born. He did not inherit the sinful nature of humanity. Number two, being virgin born means he did not have the tainted blood of humanity. Leviticus 17:11, the Bible says this: the life of the flesh is in the blood. No blood, no life. The thing that gives your body life is the blood you have coursing through your veins. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Christ did not have a human bloodline. He had a divine bloodline. Amen? He did not, thank you, buddy, he did not inherit sinful blood. That's why when he died, his blood could pay our sin debt, because it was perfect blood. It was untainted blood. So, being virgin born, he did not inherit the sinful nature of man. Being virgin born, he did not have the tainted blood of man. And a third thing, being virgin born, he did not have the propensity to sin as man. He did no sin. He never said a wrong word. Never told a lie. Never went to the wrong place. Never had a bad thought. Can you imagine? He only did what was good. When he went to help, it was the right kind of help. When he went to help, it was the right time to help. When he went to help, he showed compassion. He healed folks. He raised the dead. He was supernatural. Amen? How did he come? Without the human agency of a father, an earthly father. He had a human mother and a divine father. He was very God and very man. The most unique person in the universe. He came born of a virgin. Amen? Number two, I think verse 21, look at with me. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 21. tells us the purpose of his coming. Why did Jesus come? Well, in his own words, he began his earthly ministry, in his own words, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." On another occasion he said, "I've come not to call the righteous, self-righteous people. I've come to call sinners to repentance, those that understand that they're a sinner and need a Savior." This verse 21 tells us why he came. He shall save his people from their sins. He said, "I have come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly." Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John 1:14, the Bible tells us that Jesus tabernacled among us. He became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only beloved who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus came to save sinners. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled in our passage. Then it quotes Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." But Matthew adds one little part at the end, which being interpreted is God with us. Now why would Matthew add that? Why was that important? Well, he just told us that the purpose of Christ's coming was to save sinners. Jesus came to his own people, amen? The gospel message was to go to the Jews. They understood the word, the Hebrew word, Emmanuel. That's a Hebrew word. The Greeks would not have known the Hebrew word Emmanuel and its meaning. They didn't study Hebrew. They spoke Greek. So God, in his infinite wisdom, added these little words, which being interpreted means God with us, so that every Gentile who saw this passage and read those words would understand that it meant God was going to dwell with man. He tented among us. He showed forth the Father. He was God with us. And as God, he came to live, to die for our sin, and to raise the third day for our justification, all God's people said. And there's one third thing about this simple little passage. It tells us who Jesus was. In Luke's account with Mary and in Matthew's account with Joseph, there are four names that are given to this baby being born. The first name we all read, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. And it means the one mighty to save. When the angel is talking to Mary, he says, he shall be called, listen to this, the Son of the Highest. That's his deity. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. The third thing it says about him, he shall inherit the throne of his father David, king. He will be king. The fourth name is Emmanuel, God with us. There are only three offices in the Old Testament where anointed people were anointed. Christ was called the Anointed One. Now get this. There are only three times in the Old Testament when people are anointed. One, kings were anointed. The anointing, when a king was anointed, pictured God's hand and spirit was on the ruler and the rule of the king. David was anointed. The second person that was anointed in the Old Testament was the prophet. The office of prophet pictured the Spirit of God who rested on the one chosen to proclaim God's revelation to the people he was speaking to. An anointed prophet was a powerful speaker for God. The king was anointed. The prophet was anointed. The third office or person that was anointed was a priest. It proclaimed the one God had chosen to represent the people before God. The one who entered the Holy of Holies with the blood of the Lamb. Sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. The priest was anointed. Jesus was king. He is king. Jesus was a prophet. He is the prophet. Jesus is our high priest. The high priest. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. All God's people said. Who was he? He was born to Mary. He was the Father's only begotten. As man, he grew tired and weary. As God, he never slumbers nor sleeps. As man, he hungered and thirsted and sought refreshment. As God, he fed the 5,000. As man, he had the disciples purchase food for the Passover. as God. He created every herb-bearing plant, every seed for food, every animal for meat. As man, he crossed the sea in a ship. As God, he walked on the water. As man, he rode in the ship among the great storm. As God, he stood at the bow of the ship and said, "Peace be still." As man, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. As God, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." He was very God and very man. What was Christmas really about? What really happened at Christmas? Christ came. Born of a virgin, to save sinners, and to show us the God who no man had ever seen. He tented among us. And here's the good news. He's coming back again. When you go to open your presents this year, would you pause to think about the greatest gift ever given? The Lord Jesus. He gave himself, the Bible says, a ransom for many. Jesus Christ is the true reason for Christmas. Amen. Lord, help us to love you. Be thankful to you. Because of your willingness to come. This story is an amazing story. God, may we just not simply pass over it. Lord, may we dwell on it and think about it and realize what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. In Jesus' name, amen.